Greetings and salutations, friends, and welcome to Norwegian News. I swear, I'm going to start doing a segment on Norwegian News. Because, okay, granted, Norway rarely has anything particularly relevant to add to any discussion, particularly not when it comes to modern culture or politics, as we tend to be a good, 10-20 years behind everybody else on this front, as we are quite literally isolated little monkey and mountain monkeys up here. But this is nevertheless an interesting little article here. Gutter kulturkrigens første offer, men ikke kvinner som overgriperne. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you read Norwegian. We can actually translate this to English, and it's pretty much a one-to-one translation, in fact, as Norwegian translates very well into English. In fact, there's quite a lot of borrowed words between the two languages, but history lesson aside, this is a very interesting article to read because it gives a view into the more honest mindset of the left-winger, because right now the right is in ascendancy pretty much universally, but not here in Norway, where we are still mushing down on anyone that even so much as breathes an opinion that might differ from the zeitgeist of Oslo, our capital. And what is amusing as well is that the left still view themselves as the victims. Throughout this article here, Andreas Bjørnbekk has no idea why he's under attack, why the right seems to be rising. It must all be propaganda and grifters. The right has no arguments, does it? No. Even whilst he's mentioning extremist left-wing groups. So have a look at this, have a listen, and you'll see the more truthful mind of the left-winger in action here. A very one-sided worldview that exists only on one side of the political spectrum. And it illuminates the reason why, back in the day, we covered an article a couple days ago, in fact, where it's like, why was there no conversation? Why wasn't the left and the right speaking? Other right-wingers have never tried to talk. And I'm like, we tried for like 5 years. You wouldn't listen. Because it is not merely an echo chamber here, it's a self-imposed isolation. Anywho, enough preamble. In the last 10 years, there has been a worldwide radicalization campaign on the internet aimed at boys. You remember that whole shadowy conspiracy theory from the previous article? Well, that's quite common on the left, this idea that there is some grand force out there, whereas in reality, this is literally the most grassroots movement I think I've ever seen. I know a lot of the people on the right of this. I know Sagan of a Cat, for example, personally, and he and I have the exact same story. We were just playing our video games, enjoying our hobbies, then we saw this stuff begin to invade upon it and go like, hold on, You can't do that. You can't call 40k racist. It isn't. Let me try to explain it to you. That was a waste of time, incidentally. This new folk disease has lived among us for a long time, and its name is radicalization. At the same time, many men face major challenges that society at large must take seriously. Let me know when you begin taking it seriously. In a comment in Aftenposten on the 3rd of November, Synnøve Vareide, Trump, writes that we cannot call half a generation of boys of radicalized idiots. The problem is that we almost have to. See what I mean? See, again, Norway is very left-wing. Well, no, we are luxury progressive, in that so long as nothing is affecting us personally, we will be as left-wing as humanly possible. But the moment Russia goes, here, have immigrants, we will swing right in a millisecond and close the border quicker than you can say whoopsie. That's the thing. Norway is a country where we are more than happy to, kowtow to the wishes of the elites, like, oh yeah, no, that sounds really good. But the moment you actually start implementing something that screws us over, oh, we're going to slap back real quick on that. But this too, if you say something like, we can't call the half a generation of young boys idiots, you will have people go, no, actually we can, because they're not left-wingers. Suggested that Simon Vella and his peers have legitimate points, unfortunately completely ignores why so many boys almost suddenly have their views of reality completely distorted. Suddenly, indeed. It just happened, you see. In the last 10 years, there has been a worldwide radicalization campaign on the internet aimed at boys. In 2014, the then relatively male-dominated computer game environment experienced the phenomenon of Gamergate, still overwhelmingly male, by the way, something along the lines of 90 to 80% for gaming rather than, you know, Peggle and other such nonsense. A campaign which on the surface was about demanding ethical and objective coverage of games from games journalists. Not just on the surface. I was there. That was literally the entire point of Gamergate. And then we started looking into why simple calls for ethics in games journalism was creating such a backlash. And oh boy, that was a rabbit hole and a half. In reality, it was about censoring progressive voices and was led by rabid misogynists. Hi. The incel movement, men who find themselves living in enforced celibacy. Incel. Involuntary celibate. Living in enforced celibacy. As you can tell, this guy has not done a whole lot of research on this beyond reading a Wikipedia article, but hey, he's Norwegian. I'm surprised he even knows that this happened in 2014. Honestly, I expected us to start with the Reagan administration or something. Has strong roots in Gamergate. In many ways, the phenomena became the epicenter for and the beginning of the right's new culture war. Ah, see, this is one of the best ones, right? The left currently believes, genuinely so, that it is under attack. There's a, we did nothing wrong. Why are we being attacked? It's the right-wing resurgent fascists everywhere attacking us for no reason. You started this. The culture war wasn't begun by the right wing. We simply finally realized we were fighting one. We, again, the moment like people like me, for example, realized what was happening was when we were playing 40K in video games. We started looking around going, why am I being accused of being a racist misogynist for liking a video game? Why is there a video talking about how Batman's cape is strategically placed to hide his ass? This is a complete and utter nonsense. And again, I mention this every time. One of the conversations I had with Sargon, for example, one of his earliest videos, was the idea that if he could simply just talk to Anita Sarkeesian, he could make her understand that video games weren't sexist. That was the opinion of the majority of us. That if we could just explain to this people, like I made entire videos going like, no, 40K isn't sexist, come on, here's example of women in 40K, blah, blah, blah. This isn't racist, here's example of that, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't to do anything with that. And it took us years to realize that this was a power play. That we were waging a struggle against people who were using this not to improve anything, but to gain access to companies. To gain access to lucrative deals to work for games companies. To gain access to them to establish terms of service and start cracking down on freedom of speech on the internet, which was far wider in 2014, to the point where today we have companies deliberately denouncing their own fans and settings, as we've seen with 40K, where the creators of 40K is looking at the Space Marines and going, the Space Marines are evil, dudes. Anyways, again, the culture war existed long before Gamergate. Gamergate was merely the moment where we began to realize that, holy shit, we're under attack. How long has this been going on? 5 years? Shit. Trampling in unison. Although Gamergate was in some ways argued away, that is true. Gamergate was defeated, largely because we had no idea that we were fighting a war at the time. It never completely went away. On the online forums, the now established schools of thought continued to abound, and anything that could be interpreted as feminist, such as female characters and leading roles, again, I mean, we could go over this again, couldn't we? That there were literally entire video essays dedicated to explaining that this was not an argument, and that there had always been female characters and leading roles, but it would be a waste of time. This is a feminist from 2014. Reiterating these arguments now is honestly just superfluous. And of course, they were mean to us on the internet. Tragic, truly. The power and amount of influence Gamergate has had on the Western level of society is difficult to measure. See, this... One of the interesting things about the left is that by and large, it will simply look to the right and go, mine now. This is it. Like, no, this was us looking up at the left going, hold on, you work for Ubisoft. You have entire departments in my favorite company dedicated to DEI? What the hell? That was the level of societal influence they had. The ability to simply point at a man for wearing a shirt with a woman on it and cancel his career, as seen during the meteorite incident. But his branches and aftermath have probably had a significant consequences on the internet. Moreover, it quickly took a position as pro-Donald Trump. More correctly, Donald Trump took a position as pro-right wing. Donald Trump is a reaction to you, left-wingers. He was not created by the right out of nowhere. In fact, the right was largely falling apart. The Republicans looked like they would never win an election again until Donaldus Trumpus came on the scene and violated the first of two women he would be beating. Since then, the gaming and media, film media and society have not been the same. Developers and directors can't publish games or movies without extreme right-wing circles harassing them for apparently being woke. In the vast majority of cases, all it takes to be harassed is to have female or non-white persons in their products. Sometimes it's enough that the women don't have big enough tits or chins that aren't feminine enough. The discussion is reduced to a few words that stop all independent critical thinking, that far-right most loyal soldiers stomp out in unison to stop free-thinking people speaking out. Are you seeing why I picked this article yet? Like I said, this is the honest opinion of the left. They have no idea what's going on. They look at a video game that has catered to their needs near exclusively for 10 years. They look at the radical changes to gaming, to beauty standards, to Sony spending $200+ million on the most progressive, inclusive, wokest game you've ever seen in the case of Concord, and they wonder, wow, I just don't understand why the right-wingers are so upset. It's because you've held all the levers of cultural power. You are the ones that has determined the direction of gaming, and we don't like it. You are the ones that created Dragon Age Veilguard, goddammit. You are the one who created Concord, who created Dustborn, which we'll talk about in a second. In Norway, Game.no can report that Norwegian Red Thread Games and the company's veteran developers are being harassed and threatened because their latest game, Dustborn, deals with women and LGBT. It does, and incredibly poor storytelling as well. The editor of Game.no has had to close the comment section because the discussion quickly becomes very ugly and partially dangerous for those involved. Partially dangerous. Words on the internet can hurt you. Oy. Like I said, this is literally 2014 again. They abandoned that position like 10 years ago, but in Norway, it's still a thing. Ironically, and despite what debaters like Dan Boy Choi, the anti-woke ideologue and editor of the online newspaper Subjekt, would have it, the conservatives and those on the far right who are running a culture of cancellation. Again, it's remarkable, isn't it? I was not exaggerating. They have no idea why this is happening. They have no idea why right-wing cancel culture is now admittedly a thing. It is because we were being cancelled for 10 goddamn years. It is the fact that on YouTube, your channel can disappear like that. Up until Elon Musk bought Twitter, you could be banned for reasons that no one would ever tell you. You would never be informed why your account was removed. You could be shadow banned and never told. Only when Elon came back did several people get their accounts reinstated because they were not actually in violation of any of Twitter's terms of service. On YouTube, algorithmic suppression of right-wing channels is endemic. I myself have seen the literal data of it, both for myself and countless of my friends as well. There is no debate that left-wing cancel culture wasn't real. You could have your entire life ruined by a simple accusation on the internet. And now that we have looked at the tools that the left wielded with such glee and thought, alright, consequences of your own actions, now they cry. And strictly speaking, it always has been. If you're talking about women's first getting the right to vote in the 20th century, book burning and Nazis' violation of Jewish and socialist art, I was about to say, what books were the Nazis burning, I wonder, and culture in the 1930s, yes, the Nazis, the National Socialists were burning their socialist art, because these were two socialist parties having hissy fit. And there we go, 1930s McCarthyism. I knew we'd get there eventually. Basically, in Norway, America is whatever it was in the 30s, pretty much. In the US, in post-war period, evangelical denominations calls everything demonic, and more recently, the obsession with labels such as political correctness and later woke. Yes, demonic and woke are the exact same thing. In South Korea, the anti-woke movement and misogynists are now so strong that a celibacy movement has emerged on the woman's side. The movement takes a direct distance from men because the women experience that the state and most boys see them as birth machines who do not deserve equality. That's a rather racist take on Asians, I gotta say, bro. But if we're gonna bring up the 4B movement, well, the 4B movement is a radical left-wing feminist movement. The no dating, no sex, no marriage, no childbirth. This is not a new idea. This is radical feminism, where men are to be rejected from life entirely, where you are aiming toward a male-free society, where you do not acquiesce to anything that they want whatsoever, you do not cooperate with them, you simply remove yourself from society because society itself is evil. A simple act of shunning cosmetics can be seen as a drastic act in South Korea, which is one of the beauty standards, of course. And then it's also the expectation to have marriage, to have dating, to have relationships with people other than women. We also saw this in the West as well. And speaking of, as you're lauding this movement so much, oh, hello, there we go. Radical feminism, and as a whole in South Korea, has a notable transphobic and homophobic presence. Well, I mean, personally, I take a stance against aggressive homophobia, but, you know, I'm not a writer for Aftenposten, so what do I know? The great false forces of social media. The fact that girls in Norway do well at school, that women make up 17.5% of Norwegian top managers, 45% of the members of the Stortinget, which is our governing body, and only 59 of the 400 less than 15% rich people in this country do not constitute a danger for men and is not the reason for boys turning towards the political extreme right. Now, there's a couple points here. The wealth thing, you know why? Look up at some point. Just fancy here. Everyone who's watching this, look up the top richest women in the world and see where they got their wealth. Trust me, it's exactly where you think they got it from. That and a little bit of fraud, but hey, details, details. And constitute a danger towards men. Well, here's the thing. I'm a Norwegian too. I know about this stuff. You have requirements by law for gender balances. We have legally enforced requirements to hire women based solely on their genitalia. We have affirmative action. You must hire women for public bodies, for public jobs, for board positions because of their genitalia alone. In fact, we used to have 112 educational lines where being a woman alone would raise your grades by a point. You were awarded points to get into school, highly competitive schools like doctors, etc., simply by having the correct genitalia. That was only removed, or at least ameliorated, this year. We have advantaged women on virtually every single field for the last 20, 30 years at this point, and it is not stopping. Gender discrimination, positive discrimination, is still in full effect in schooling and in physical activities. If you want to be an officer in the Norwegian army, as a woman, you have to meet a far lower physical standard than men, for example. It is simply an observable reality and a truth that women have been grossly overadvantaged in our society. And a lot of men, particularly when it comes to the schooling, who see themselves be refused access to their educational aspirations because they were born the wrong gender, well, I feel as if the women might, maybe, should show a little bit of consideration for that, maybe? Who knows? Disgraced psychologist Jordan Peterson lures you in with perfectly normal, good advice about focusing on things that are important in life, but also insinuates that women shouldn't have the right to vote. I haven't heard that one, but he has gone off the rails a little bit, I will agree. And Andrew and Tristan Tate. You know, I think just mentioning Jordan Peterson and the Tate brothers in the same sentence is enough to more or less ignore that point. The businessman Elon Musk, the once cool tech genius with the world's biggest wallet, who once fought for the climate, who has received billions of support from the welfare state of Norway, why, has become a leading preacher in the Trump cult. He has turned Twitter, now X, into an ultra-extremist Republican Party inkwell where racial slurs abound and where fascists are lifted up and forwarded by the algorithm. We do not live in the same reality. Not even close. Not even in the slightest. Again, the only thing that has changed on Twitter is that now Twitter is applying its terms of service equally. But for those who have been used to privilege and power the left, equal treatment must seem an awful lot like oppression, mustn't it? Ironically, Musk himself is probably a victim of the radicalization and misinformation boys otherwise experience on the internet. See, here's the thing. This is the left-wing view. Musk, who was a champion for the climate, has turned evil. God damn that Musk. He must have been radicalized by misinformation. I know what radicalized Elon Musk. He's talked about it. What radicalized Elon Musk is his son deciding to become a woman, deciding to then cut all ties with his father, or her, because we're on YouTube, and it enforces a left-wing agenda exclusively. That's what radicalized him. Having his own child disown him for political reason. It is the left, and the left solely, that breaks up families over political ideology like this. And indeed, Zava grew radical enough to the point now, Elon Musk's estranged transgender daughter, Vivian, 20, announces she is fleeing the US after Donald Trump's election victory. Because when you are a left-wing radical, the mere idea that your political opposition might receive representation, that's oppression. I refer you back to my previous point, that to those born into power and privilege, equality seems very tyrannical indeed. None of them focus on the fact that men are emotional people with a need to show grief in healthy and safe ways. Feminine ways. Who try to create space for understanding and love also between men, and are ultimately not prompted through a misogynistic or racially motivated image. Who the hell brings this up? This is the one thing too. We read the article about 40K a while ago when I did the We're Doing It Live thing, where you see a man who has clearly been feminized, in essence, to the point where he views his own masculinity, as he admits himself, as toxic, as dangerous, as harmful to himself. Men and women do not handle emotions in the same way. Forcing the way men handle emotions upon women would probably be deeply traumatizing. Doing the same to men is equally so. We are biologically different on a fundamental level. And trying to make men women, or women men indeed, is just not a very good idea. No one focuses on the fact that it's important for boys to be able to nurture platonic friendships with girls, so that not everything is seen and evaluated through a constantly sexualized and power-centered lens. Yes, let's try to remove sexualization again. Again, it's not happening. It simply is not happening. Men are going to be attracted to women, and women are going to be attracted to men. This ain't changing. And trying to enforce this as well, listen. If the last few million years of evolution hasn't caused this to happen, we are not going to social engineer this today, or tomorrow, or the next 100 years for that matter. And even if we were to manage it, it will simply be drastically destructive to one of the two genders. In this case, the male one. No, the opposite, in fact, is done. On the far right, there is talk of men and women who are constantly locked in almost social Darwinist power struggle, and where only one of them can reach the top, because someone must always be at the top and someone must be at the bottom. Such thinking is inherently fascist. Hello! I introduce you to the 4B feminist movement in Korea. You know, the one that rejects men on every level? The no dating, no sex, no marriage, no childbirth? Indeed, the left wing is a remarkably fascist movement. At least you've finally noticed that. Welcome. The year is 2024, and you have learned the first valuable lesson in political realism. Congratulations. Where the far right and extremists on the internet come up with easy answers and are a direct destructive force for men, as the left totally isn't, it is also true that the left and centre-right have been too slow to come to the aid of boys who fall outside. We need to talk much more about this and get politics in place that benefit those who fall outside. How exactly? What are your suggestions? Nothing? School, get parents on board, and completely change their approach to social media, which for 15 crucial years has been allowed to operate in a parallel laissez-faire system. Ah, there's the solution. Censorship. Stricter enforced control over what you are and not allowed to speak. Again, a left-wing solution. Not every solution to every problem is a radical left-wing one, which censorship absolutely is. There is actually a simple solution to this. There is unironically a simple solution. It is to allow boys to be boys and girls to be girls. It's not very hard. We were able to figure this out for the vast majority of human evolution. I'm sure we can get back to it after 10 years of left-wing idiocy. A knowledgeable and constructive debate about boys and men who are seduced and radicalized by Trumpism cannot be conducted without the knowledge that the far right is fighting an existential battle against the post-war prosperous egalitarian society. The post-war prosperous egalitarian society. You mean the hard times created by soft men? Here's the thing. Our society today is not prosperous because of the left. It is prosperous because of the right. It is prosperous because of the conservatism and only very gradual progressivism. Not even progressivism, liberalism, which progressivism then ate from the inside out like a beast. Devoured and is currently wearing its skin suit. We know this because they told us that's what they were doing. That is Gramsci's entire strategy, to undermine liberalism and use its weaknesses against it, to push ever more and more radical progressive change, until, indeed, the other day, we had the argument that pedophilia is merely just a sexuality, bruh. You gotta accept it, bruh. It's progress, bruh. As not all progress is inherently good, as it turns out. But when you view the world and history, as a leftist does, as simply a sliding scale moving ever further leftwards, this is the worldview you get. This right here is the worldview of an honest leftist. There is no moral consideration for your position. They do not believe that they have done anything wrong. In fact, they do not even recognize the argument for the possibility that they could have done anything wrong. All they see is you aggressing upon them. And they will respond, as they always do, with more attempts at control. Which is why this article ends with an urging for censorship and an ending to freedom of speech, the laissez-faire way of the internet that already isn't very laissez-faire by the current standard. But anywho, I hope you've enjoyed this look into an honest leftist mind, just to remind you of what you're actually opposing here and how boned you will be if you stop resisting. Until next time, I've been Arch. Thank you all very much for watching. I hope to see you all again soon. Till then, have a good day.